Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak here for this Monday, the 22nd of May in London. Coming up today.
Short circuit. China bans Micron semiconductors as their chips battle with the US heats up.
A debt ceiling detente. Talks restart ahead of a Biden-McCarthy sit-down.
A hop, skip, and then maybe a jump. The Fed's Kash Kari says he's open to a temporary rate pause.
Racing scandal, Epstein's burnt bridge, and where to get schooled. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers. I'm James Walcock.
Plus, asking for more, property sellers up prices, but is anyone buying?
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. On Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Here are the stories that we're following today.
China has delivered the latest salvo in its escalating semiconductor dispute with the United States. Beijing says products made by the American chips firm Micron have failed to pass a cybersecurity review in the country. Many will see the move as a response to the US decision to blacklist Chinese tech firms and curb the flow of sophisticated processors to the country. But US Deputy National Security Advisor for International Economic Affairs, Mike Pyle, says the two countries are not decoupling.
Last year was the United States' record year with respect to bilateral trade between China and the United States. So that's really the approach. That's not decoupling. Record trade is not decoupling, but it is saying there are a set of very significant concerns and we're going to de-risk ourselves. Our allies and partners are going to de-risk themselves with respect to them.
Speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern at the end of the G7 summit in Japan, Mike Pyle also warned that Republicans are playing a risky game in negotiations to raise the debt ceiling.
Now, President Biden and Republican House Speaker McCarthy are set to meet today for talks on averting a catastrophic US default. Negotiations have whipsawed between progress and deadlock for days as the two sides simultaneously grapple for political advantage and also for a deal. US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the clock is ticking.
It's hard to be absolutely certain about this, but my assessment is that the odds of reaching June 15th while being able to pay all of our bills is quite low.
Yellen spoke on NBC's Meet the Press as investors brace for more volatility in markets. A US default would risk triggering a massive sell-off, surges in borrowing costs, and it could also send shockwaves across the global economy.
Fed policymaker Neel Kashkari says he may support a hold on hikes at their next meeting. In an interview with Dow Jones, the rate setter said he's, quote, open to the idea that we can move a bit more slowly from here. However, Kashkari also burnished his hawkish credentials during the interview. The Minneapolis Fed president says he objects to any declaration that the Fed has finished raising rates to fight against inflation. The comments add to the possibility the Fed may opt to skip a June rate hike without committing to a longer pause.
Well, when it comes to the European Central Bank's fight to tame inflation, it isn't over and more action is still needed. That is the view of the ECB president, Christine Lagarde, who told Dutch TV that, quote, we're not done yet. We are not pausing based on the information I have today. Lagarde's clear-cut comments come after several ECB officials warned rate hikes may need to persist beyond this summer.
Rishi Sunak returns from the G7 in Japan to face another cabinet scandal. Home Secretary Suella Braverman is reported to have asked civil servants to arrange a private driver awareness course after she was caught speeding. The PM says he'll consult with his independent ethics advisor on the issue. However, Alistair Graham, the former chairman of the Committee on Standards and Public Life, says he needs to take action.
If he, on occasion after occasion, doesn't take action as Prime Minister on standards, all it will look as if that was one of some sham PR speech rather than a serious intention of how his government would behave.
Sir Alistair Graham's warning comes a month after Sunak's number two, Dominic Raab, resigned over claims of aggressive and intimidating behaviour towards civil servants.
The property market appears to be defying predictions of a slump. Online property site Rightmove's average asking price for a house in the UK rose 1.8% in May, hitting a record high. Bloomberg's Samuel Etienne reports.
A senior economist at the Office for Budget Responsibility recently said the end of cheap money means bumper UK house price growth may be finished. But online property site Rightmove's latest data begs to differ. The average price property sellers are asking for reached more than £370,000, a record high. Though, a note of caution, just because asking prices are rising doesn't mean anyone is buying at those prices. Hamptons, the property broker, says investors have deserted the market for new builds, instead looking to invest in cheaper locations outside of the capital. In London, Samuel Etienne, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Now to results from Ryanair, the low-cost airline reporting profit after tax for its full year of €1.43 billion, beating estimates that had been for €1.38 billion worth of profits. The company saying it expects strong demand in the peak summer season to drive a 10% increase in passenger numbers and a modest year-on-year increase in net income in its fiscal year.
Okay, those are our top stories for you this morning. Stephen, did you drink any nice wine in Spain? You were away for a few days.
Caroline, what a terrible thing to suggest at this hour of the morning. I did my best to support the Spanish wine industry.
Well, maybe you could prop up the UK industry, because now apparently we learn that the government is going to scrap EU regulations on wine production so that winemakers can pick from a wider range of vines and create new blends here in the UK.
And interestingly, it may see the return of Piquet to shelves here, something that's banned in the EU. So essentially it's a form of winemaking that uses the pomace from wine, so you kind of crush some of the other elements involved in winemaking as well. It's not something that's currently allowed in the EU unless you're drinking it in your own wine production. Unless you have a family
of
vineyards.
You know a great deal about
It is absolutely fascinating, because it's something that's really big in the natural wine world. So it could be something we see returning to shelves here under this change in rules.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. This is also, it's part of the government, you know, the failure to scrap all of these EU regulations, which was a promise that government made by the end of the year. Well, this is one of the rules that they are sort of highlighting as something that is going to be ditched, an EU regulation to allow a UK industry to flourish. Having said that, if you read over the weekend the piece about UK everyday products and the inflation that we've seen in terms of food products in the UK, much more than we have seen in Europe, then actually, you know, the overall picture for grocery bills in Britain is really quite alarming.
Yeah, look, it's from the data provider Circana publishing these numbers. We've all seen the prices going up, but this idea that they're going up at a much faster pace than countries elsewhere in Europe as well. Of course, this all ahead of the inflation number in the UK due out on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the picture in the UK. But let's get some more detail on the debt ceiling talk, shall we? Also dominated over the weekend, didn't they? President Joe Biden, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy are due to meet now later today. Let's bring in our Bloomberg senior editor, Bill Ferries, who joins us for more. Thanks so much, Bill, for being with us. So has any progress been made then over the weekend?
Well, as you said at the top, we were whipsawed over the past, 48 to 72 hours. Talks that were on were the Republicans walked out of. Then they've restarted. Speaker McCarthy described them as productive, and after his call with President Biden, who was on his way back from the G7. But we don't really know. The staff on both sides had talks on Sunday night. They did not share any details of those meetings with reporters. And we're still waiting to find out the timing of the Monday meeting between President Biden and Speaker McCarthy. The calendar here is really unforgiving. We've had the comments from Janet Yellen that mid-June was a likely stretch for the Treasury Department. If you go back to the original X date of June 1st, and you look, you have to look at the Capitol Hill calendar going behind that. So if June 1st is the date you hit the debt ceiling, you have to have legislation actively moving through the House and Senate up to 4 or 5 days before then. It just takes time. So you open up your calendar. That's basically this week. They have to have progress this week. So we'll see later today what Kevin McCarthy and President Biden can reach.
Do we have any idea or indication what the potential stumbling blocks are or areas where there could be progress made towards a deal?
Well, we know one area has been the spending caps Republicans wanted. Originally, they were calling for caps on domestic spending that would go out, would hold for up to 10 years. They have reportedly dialed that back to 6 years. That's not far enough for Democrats who want to see any caps limited to 2 years. There's still some push by Republicans to include tougher work requirements for people who are on government aid. That's something that they're going to still keep negotiating with. And they're also just looking at if there are spending cuts, where those fall. Do they fall solely on domestic programs, or does the Pentagon, the defense industry, get hit with some of those too? Republicans don't want to see defense touched. They want to see big increases in defense. That's all on the table as well.
Okay, Bill, thank you so much for being with us then. Looking at the debt ceiling negotiations in the US, President Joe Biden, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy expected to meet later today. Our senior editor, Bill Ferries.
Up next, ratings scandal, Epstein's burnt bridge, and where to get schooled.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Now, the paper review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
Bloomberg's James Wilcock joins us this morning. Great to have you looking through the newspapers today, and actually some real bombshells, it would seem. Let's start with The Times, who are serialising a book by the BBC economics correspondent Andy Verity, making some big claims about LIBOR.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure I want you to tell our listeners, Caroline, that LIBOR is obviously the interbank lending rate that back in 2008 came under a series of manipulations that then unwound into a massive scandal in the UK press and UK financial scene. So during the crisis, the problem for a lot of banks and the government and the Bank of England was the higher LIBOR rates were, the more risky a bank was seen. So what Verity has found and is alleging is he has got some of the tapes of some of the traders' calls at the time. One that he focuses in on is one called Mark Dearlove, who was a senior manager at Barclays. And on this tape, it is on record as saying the Bank of England and the UK government are pressuring us to get these rates lower, because that would obviously imply that the interventions the government and the state are making are working. So it's a very serious claim, because it would imply that bankers have gone to jail over this. And the person that Dearlove was talking to, a guy called Johnson, PJ, who's in the call, has since been jailed.
Yes.
So it is extremely serious. And for what it's worth, the Bank of England have told the Times the claims are completely unsubstantiated. But it is part of this book that is being serialised, talking about how there may have been top-down intervention, is what Verity is alleging. And it's worth saying this is just the first of many. At the bottom of the article, it says tomorrow the FBI enters the picture.
Okay, so that's in the Times today. Let's go to the Wall Street Journal next, and an explosive report delving into the relationship between Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein.
So it's JP Morgan's Investor Day today, Stephen. And Jamie Dimon is set to have a very, very good day with incredible returns, the purchase of First Public. But there's just one story hanging over them, and it is the Epstein story. And this story in the Wall Street Journal, like this very deep dive into sort of the relationship that Bill Gates and Epstein have, gives a flavour of how the disgraced and deceased mogul operated. So just as a reminder, Epstein was convicted in 2008 of charges and then served jail time.
Yes.
And when he came out, he wanted to rehabilitate his name. And so he was in talks with JP Morgan, the bank, about providing a $100 multi-million fund that would invest in charitable causes, and he would claim the fees for managing said fund. And one of the people he really wanted to get on board was Bill Gates. And it is fascinating to see how he would write to, say, Jez Staley and Mary Eddowes with things saying, like, quote, Bill is frustrated. So he would claim to be one of Bill Gates' close aides, something that Bill Gates completely denies. And on the other side, the Wall Street Journal has found that Bill Gates was having a potential affair with a bridge player at the time. Epstein found that bridge player, paid for them to go to a software course, let them stay in an apartment of his, and then years later, after the relationship with Epstein and Gates had completely fallen apart in 2017, emailed Bill Gates to ask him to pay for her tuition fee that Epstein had covered years prior. So that kind of very sly, casual, and also slightly threatening, the Wall Street Journal alleges, method shows how Epstein managed these relationships with people at the very top of power.
Yeah, I thought it's an absolutely fascinating read. It's extremely detailed, as you say, the kind of workings behind the scene of top players are really interesting. Look, the FT also ranking executive education courses. We're going to bring the temperature down and talk about schooling.
I was about to say, I mean, you say that, Caroline, this could be some of the most controversial ones today. Well, if you're not on the top 12, people do look at these rankings, so where they go, and these rankings matter. And the big fascinating story here is, of 11 of the 12 top-ranked open programmes, they're all European.
Oh.
And so it is Europe where people want to be educated for these courses. It is worth pointing out, though, that although the basis of these courses is European, one of the things they offer is, if you're an executive and want training in things like how to run a modern business, AI, digital transformation, it's fascinating how these courses are changing, it will be a global experience. But that global experience is often being run by European universities.
Okay, James Wilcock, thank you very much for that look through the papers. Let's bring you a couple of our global news stories this morning that we're following for you. Two legal firms are planning to merge to create one of the world's largest law companies with $3.4 billion in revenue. The combination of Allen Overy and Shearman & Sterling will have almost 4,000 lawyers across 29 countries and offer US law, English law and local law capabilities. The Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis pummeled the opposition in a national election held over the weekend, moving a step closer to another four-year term. The Prime Minister's centre-right New Democracy gained almost 41% of the vote, compared to about 20% for the leftist Syriza party of former Premier Alexis Tsipras. Mitsotakis will likely opt for a second ballot in a month rather than assembling a coalition. And SpaceX has launched a four-person crew towards the International Space Station. Its Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from Florida on Sunday evening, carrying four private astronauts, including the first woman from Saudi Arabia to travel to space. The mission was operated by Axiom Space and is the second of four human spaceflight launches that SpaceX is handling for the company. Those are some of our global news stories this morning. This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.